After taking a breather on the preaching series of 1 Corinthians, today we want to continue with chapter 12. It is about spiritual gifts. Before I talk about this very challenging topic, I want to commit this time to the Lord and I ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Father, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the water and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so pray that your word that goes out from my mouth will not return empty, but will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you send it. Father, we want to commit the preaching of the word to you today. Father, I want to commit myself to you. I pray, O God, that you will use my lips, that you will take over my mind and my heart, that, Father, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice, that your Spirit will fill me, Spirit will use me, and your Spirit will speak through me. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The topic that I want to share with you today is spiritual gifts. This topic, as far as I'm concerned, it is rarely taught in the church. Because every time when this topic is being mentioned in the church, it raises eyebrows. People become nervous. About maybe 15 years ago, if some of you remember, a pastor in Penang prophesied that there was going to be a tsunami that is going to hit Penang and is going to wipe out the whole Penang island. And she called her congregation to move away from the island, to go to the mainland as far as they can from this island of Penang. And this news got to the churches in Penang, and the people in the congregation went to their pastor and say, "Pastors, is this true? Is this news true?" And it has created a lot of confusion and chaos. And this had forced the pastor of major churches, and LPN pastors were included, to pray and to come out with a statement on whether this prophecy is true. Enough, after praying, the pastors felt that this prophecy is not true, and they make a statement to allay fears. And the tsunami didn't actually come until today. Before I came to FPBC, that was like more than 20 over years ago, I was told that a large group of people left this church and joined another church. And I heard about this saga, this church split, was related to a very trivial issue that is also related to spiritual gifts. And this is about the matter of speaking in tongues. This is the matter with regards to speaking in tongues. Until today, we have seldom hear about this topic preached in the church. Perhaps this topic has scarred many people. And because of this, people have kept this at arm's length. And today, I want to share with you, and I want to take this topic out again, and we want to dust it and we want to take a close look at the Bible about this topic. And you can find this topic in a few passages in the New Testament, but today we are going to look into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. But today I'm only going to cover until chapter 7, because the nature of this message is very controversial. I need to take a little bit of time to be as thorough as possible to explain to you, so that I will take a little bit longer, right? So I will cover until verse 7, and I will leave verse 8 to 11 to another time, okay? Verse 8 to 11 is about the individual gifts. There are 9 of them that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 to 11. Let me read to you. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one who can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually as the Spirit chooses. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, the church in Corinth was very blessed with spiritual gifts. There were no lack of spiritual gifts in that church. And all kinds of spiritual gifts were exercised in that church during that time by the believers there. By reading a few parts of Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians, it seemed like there was misuse of spiritual gifts in that church, or even abuse. And that had actually caused chaos and disorder in the church. Now, the church in Corinth at that time was still a very young church. And many of them were only spiritual babies. It means that they were still immature or even carnal in their nature. And perhaps they have also never been taught about the subject of spiritual gifts. But some in the church there were already practicing all kinds of gifts and exercising it. And because of their carnality and their immaturity, that had perhaps contributed to the problems of the church. And Paul, in this letter, in the 12th chapter, he addressed the issue. And he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be unaware. But I want to teach you about spiritual gifts. Now, in verse 2, Paul also seemed to suggest that the problem was exacerbated by the believers' pagan or idol worship background. Not only due to their lack of understanding and their immaturity, they might also have imparted some of the pagan practices into the church. And there were excesses, means that there were times when the carnal nature of the believers kicked in when they exercised spiritual gifts. And these excesses had actually led to chaos and division in the church. And Paul also seemed to suggest in verse 3, that while there were genuine manifestations of the Spirit in the church at that time, but there were also fake and phony manifestations. And this is what Paul says on how you can distinguish between the real and the fake ones. And he said, no one speaking by the Spirit or motivated by the Holy Spirit or led by the Holy Spirit will ever say Jesus is cursed. Likewise, no one who is not led by the Spirit can say Jesus is Lord. This means that Paul was saying to the people, watch the people carefully. Watch their words and watch their action. From their words and from their action, you will be able to know their motive and the source of where the gifts are coming from, whether it comes from the flesh or it comes from the Spirit of God. This is very important for us to be able to know and distinguish. Bear in mind that this is a constant judgment that we have to make as believers. And there is a gift of the Holy Spirit that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that helps us to distinguish this. This is called the gift of discernment of spirits. We will cover this on another day. Let's move on. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I do not know whether you understand this. It seems to me that this is quite complicated and it is not easy for us to comprehend. This is very dense. But do not be afraid, okay? We will unpack this together. But before we go any further, okay, I want to clearly define to you what spiritual gifts are and what spiritual gifts are not. Okay? Because the word gifts, if we understand it conventionally, it means things. it means things. Right? For example, a gift that we receive from our loved one on our birthday or on Christmas. We unwrap the gifts and maybe it's a pen, right? And we use it on a special occasion and we take it out to use only when we need it. But spiritual gifts is not a thing. Spiritual gifts is not a thing. Okay, do you get it? And what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are the Holy Spirit Himself. Let me say this again. Spiritual gifts are the Holy Spirit Himself manifesting in and through us to accomplish His works. Maybe at this point, some eyebrows are already raised. Huh? What do you mean by that? Spiritual gifts are a person. It's a person. It's not a thing that we possess. A story was once told about a prince who wants to get married. He ordered his subjects to go to the city and bring back the most beautiful woman for him to choose from. So his subjects went out in search for maidens for the prince to marry. Then after a few days, the subjects came back with four most beautiful women to be presented before the prince. And then when they were standing before the prince gave each of them a wish. The first one said she wanted a chariot with white horses. And the prince said, your wish is granted. And then the second one came and said, prince, I want a necklace adorned with precious stones. Then the prince said, your wish is granted. Then the third maiden came and said, prince, my family are very poor. They don't even have a roof on their head. I want a house for my parents. Then the prince said, your wish is granted. When it comes to the fourth woman who is very shy and beautiful, and she said to the prince, she said, I am too embarrassed to say my wish in front of so many people. Your Highness, can I whisper my wish into your ear? So she went and she whispered her wish into the prince's ear. As soon as she finished speaking, the prince ordered his subjects to bring out the wedding dress, the tiara, and the most beautiful ring and put it on her finger. And it of course left everyone wondered what was whispered into the ear of the prince. This is what the fourth maiden said. She said, prince, your highness, I do not want anything from you. All I want is your love. Wow. That melted the heart of the prince. And likewise, When God wants to bestow good things to us, like spiritual gift, God did not give us things. God gave us Himself. He gave His Holy Spirit. He gave His all. He gave His love. David understood this very well. He understood that the most precious gift that was on his life was the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why he uttered in Psalm 51 verse 11, he said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Because David knew that he was nothing apart from God. It was nothing. He was nothing. He could not do the things that he did if the presence of God through the Holy Spirit was not with him. David knew his limitations. And interestingly, Jesus links gifts to the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He said, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And before that, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given." What an amazing offer that God has given to each and every one of us. What an amazing promise that God did not give us things, but God gave us Himself. All of Himself. If some of you here still think that I am preaching heresy or talking nonsense, I want to share with you what this person say, you know. I do not know whether you have heard of Sam Storms. How many of you know Sam Storms? Okay, none of you, okay, neither do I, okay. But this person is really kilat, you know. You know what kilat is? Means he got a lot of credentials, huh? Okay, Sam Storms is a theologian, okay. He's a Bible scholar, okay, not like me, okay. He really studied that and he really is someone who does that for a living, okay. He was also a pastor. He was also an author of a book called Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. And not only that, he was the president-elect of Evangelical Society of U.S. Okay, that's really kilat. Okay. And Sam, he defines spiritual gifts this way. Spiritual gifts, again, are the Holy Spirit Himself coming to various degrees of manifestation in and through ordinary Christians to draw them into greater fellowship and greater conformity in Christ. I want us to really understand this, that spiritual gifts are not things that we possess, but it is God that lives in us. This is so important, because church, I have been misled before. I have been misunderstood. I have misunderstood before, okay? Wrong English. Okay. One more thing before I move on. Okay, this is so important that I have to say it repeatedly, that it is the Holy Spirit. And this is about the nature of the Holy Spirit. If some of you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, okay, according to Dallas Willard, okay, the Holy Spirit is unbodily. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is power. Right now, I want you to pay attention to the word in yellow, okay? The word unbodily. Think of unbodily in a moment. What do you understand about unbodily? It simply means that the Holy Spirit has no body. Okay, not the Holy Spirit is nobody. Okay, he has no body. All right? He is a spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses a vehicle to manifest himself in and through to do his workings. God, in his divine wisdom, chooses to use us, weak, imperfect, broken vessels, and he puts his Holy Spirit, his person himself, into us and use us to be his channel, to be his conduit for the workings of his power. Wow, this is amazing. To me, this is mind-blowing. I'm not sure about yourself, but I am overwhelmingly honored that God can use me and you and fill us with the Spirit and work through us. We are so blessed. This is so powerful, so amazing that this small little mind is not able to even imagine. Now we are back to verse 4. Now when you look at verse 4, perhaps you now have a better understanding. It is less cloudy now. It says there are variety of gifts. Means there are variety of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But it is that same person of the Holy Spirit that manifests through us. The Holy Spirit is the only source of all these spiritual gifts. There are perhaps 3 to 4 places in the New Testament where you can find the topic of spiritual gifts. Okay, so I listed 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. There is probably another one. Okay. How many gifts are there in the New Testament? How many? Okay. If you count here, right? Because there are some duplicates, right? I've counted already. There are 19, okay, minus the duplicate, right? 19 that are mentioned this in these 3 lists. Some of these are workings, okay? Means the outworkings of the Holy Spirit, or activities or manifestation, if you like to call it. Some are ministries or services or offices appointed by God to some people to serve in. But all of these are nevertheless grace gifts or supernatural abilities given by the Holy Spirit for us to function in the body of Christ. And verse 5 says that there are varieties of services or ministries, but same Lord. Means God has put different people in different ministry to serve for the edification of the body or for the building up of the church. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So, who? Christ. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to do what? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And in verse 6, it says, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. It is God who activates or energizes. God is behind all these workings, the supernatural workings, the abilities, the unction that are given to believers for his works. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul gave us a glimpse of how these activities take place in a church. It says in verse 4, Romans 12, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And in verse 7, it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I want you to look at the words in yellow. Pay attention to the words in yellow. What does it say? It says, to each one. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. You may be sitting there and thinking that you are not gifted. Maybe God has overlooked you. You may think that God only uses people like Raymond, Chun, and Jeremy because they are special. They are gifted people. By the way, spiritual gifts has nothing to do with our natural talents. Okay? Please get this right. Like my youngest daughter, she has the gift of talking to strangers. She can talk to random people. That is not spiritual gift. What we are talking here is a supernatural gift that is given by the Holy Spirit for us to do supernatural things. Because we as believers, we have our natural capacity as well as we have our supernatural capacity which comes from the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? Do you know that you have two capacities in you? One is natural gifts and talents. One is a supernatural side of you that is the workings of God in and through us. If you are sitting there saying that God has bypassed you, you are nothing, you are nobody, God will never use you, God will only use other people, you are mistaken. God wants to use you. He said to each one, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given. Therefore, don't ever say that God cannot use you. Or don't ever run and don't ever hide. And don't ever let what God has given you lie dormant and you do nothing with it. Jesus has told a parable that He has given each one of us something that one day we will have to be accountable to what we have received from the Master. Instead, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, as channels, as conduits, where the Holy Spirit can use us to do His work in the church and in this world. Now, the next part of this talks about the purpose of spiritual gifts. It says, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For common good. For common good, it means that it is given for mutual benefits between yourself and others. Just imagine the implication if God gives you some abilities or God has asked you to do something and you disobey Him and you put it under your butt and you sit on it. What is going to happen? You will miss out and other people will miss out. This is the implication. Gifts are given for us, not just to bless ourselves, but for the common good of others. And I want to end with this quote from Reinhard Bonnke. How many of you know Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist? Reinhard is a German evangelist. He's a great teacher. He's not just a great teacher, and I like him because he is a practitioner. He's a practitioner. Means he does not only teach. He practices the gifts that God had given to him. He allows himself to be a channel where the Spirit uses. And through his ministry, thousands of people have come to the Lord. Many have been healed. The lame walk, the blind see, the dead raised in his ministry. And this is what Reinhard Bonnke said. He said, the gifts of the Spirit are not medals of honor for us to display or to show off. They are tools for different jobs. And then he went on to say, this is how the spiritual gifts work. He said, when God gives me a job to do, I report for work at the gate. And at the gate, God will give me the right tools for the right moment to do the right job. If today there are many sick people in our midst, God will give me the gift of healing. The Holy Spirit will flow through me, the gift of healing. And the people that God wants to touch with supernatural healing will be healed that day. And he said, tomorrow when I come, I need to cast out demons. God will give me that unction and the power that I will be able to cast out demons. Or the next day, I may want to raise the dead. And God will give me that supernatural power. And these gifts are not gifts that are given to me, that 9, 12, 18, or 19 gifts for me to keep and for me to dispense as and how I wish it to be dispensed. It does not work that way. The Holy Spirit controls, okay, with an exception of the gift of tongues, okay, where you can speak in an unknown, it's just syllables, right? Those of you who have gift of tongues, you can speak anytime. But those of you who can prophesy, you understand that you will not be able to give prophecy on the tap. It just doesn't work that way. Because it is the Holy Spirit Himself that works through us. So what is the implication? The implication. In closing, these are the few things that I want to talk to you about with regards to spiritual gifts. Number one, I want to say to you that you cannot go to a school where you can receive the gifts of miracles, gifts of prophecy, or the gifts of whatnot. It is not something that you can receive from another person. Okay, I know some of you will disagree with me because there are places in the Bible that says through laying of hands, people will impart their gifts to you. I think that is heresy. If we read the Bible carefully and properly, it didn't say that. The Holy Spirit alone gives the gifts. Period. It is not the Chinese Kung Fu movie, you know, where you lay hands on the back, and the longer you lay, the more gifts are imparted to you. It doesn't work this way. I stand to be corrected, but as far as I am the lead pastor or elder in this church, this is the stand. And I forbid this heresy. If you want spiritual gifts, you go to the Holy Spirit. You don't go to the school of healing. Well, you can go to the school of healing and deliverance. Uncle Joe does. They teach you about, okay, he's not imparting gifts to you, okay? He's teaching you about the principles, all right? That is okay. And this is how spiritual gifts work. You need to have a relationship with God. You remember a story, I think in Acts chapter 8, where there was this man called Simon. Simon, he was a sorcerer, means somebody who practiced magic. He saw that, wow, the apostles have power. They share the gospel with him and he came to the Lord, became a believer. And then he saw the apostles performing miracles. And he said, I want this as well, so that I can also impart this to other people. And the apostle said to him, you lover of money, a greedy man, you better repent. How did I go to that? You need to have a relationship with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit longs to have a relationship with us. And we need to walk with Him and talk with Him along the narrow way and the wide way as well. Our daily communion with the Spirit, our daily devotion to the Holy Spirit plugs us into the supernatural. Because He controls what gives to give. He controls what He wants us to say and wants us not to say. When we obey the Spirit, this is where supernatural gifts are manifested and work in the body of Christ. It is through the person of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, if you understand this message that I'm saying to you today, your life will never be the same again. You will not be ineffective. You will be changed. When I was preparing for this message, God reminded me of my past. I was that little kid, often barefooted, running in the street with ADHD. Attention deficit. Cannot focus. God picked me up from the street, dust me up, clean me thoroughly. Still need cleaning. Puts His Spirit into me. And use me. Which I feel honored and grateful. I say like David, God, take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Because apart from You, I am nothing. I was just a kid in the street that You picked up and dust out. Today, standing here and preach this sermon is a testimony of God's greatness and God's goodness. Which I deserve nothing, church. I have no ability to speak like this. When God calls me, I say, God, yes. Yes, sir. I will be what You want me to be. My hands are open. My heart is open. God, use me. Will you say this, church? Will you say this? I want to invite the worship team to come. I want us to sing, I will never be the same again.